For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and manager of Sid and Dexter's, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes, international sales consultant.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
When you look in the mirror and you see your push-up bra and your fake eyelashes and your makeup and your press-on nails, the principles that I'm applying to The Office are the same ones that have made Lady Gaga a star. Or any number of drag queens.
Every week we get...
Sean, you've already used the Sid and Dexter's manager
probably
title before, man.
Probably.
Well, that time he was Sid, now he's Dexter.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I be glorified fact checker.
I mean, you know...
Inventor of Computron.
Yeah, there's so many options. The banker.
Hey, that leads us to today's episode. Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. We'll have a conference room where we're going to do a draft, and we'll have some listener provide a trivia at the end of the show, as we normally do. But this week we'll be talking about The Banker, the clip show. Edwin, why did we select this show this week?
Why did we select this awful episode?
Yeah, what is widely regarded as people's least favorite?
Well, when we were looking at individual episodes to kind of tackle, this one stood out as the clip show. It's very, very unique within all of the different Office episodes. And it made me thinking about what makes a good clip show, whether or not this is a good clip show. I'm curious to know whether you guys and whether, you know, our listeners skip this one, if they really love it, if, you know, what everyone's thoughts are about it. And then I think one thing that we'll get to in our draft is we're going to try to construct a little mini clip show of our own.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is a backdoor. This is a draft episode, really, mm-hmm. but we will talk about The Banker.
Yeah.
For sure.
The Banker, season 6, episode 14, written by Jason Kessler and directed by Jeffrey Blitz. What little of it is actually a new episode. And then it aired on January 21st, 2010. So the clip show, a lot of shows have clip shows, and I was actually surprised, read up on this on Wikipedia, but the clip show began back in 1963 with this, they would have like these serial shows that you would go see in the theater, and so there was like Robinson Crusoe of Clipper Island. They filmed the show, it's an outdoor adventure show, so they would...
Alex. I'm sorry. It's...
Okay.
Yeah. I just, you said in the theater, and I immediately thought of the bit Edwin does about you sitting in the theater, Sean, watching old time newsreels. Eating popcorn out of your beer.
Well, it would have been just like that.
Hitler moves west.
Rommel pushes forward into Africa.
that's exactly where this came from. But Robinson Crusoe was an outdoor adventure show, right? So they actually had like inclement weather one time, and they were supposed to make 12 episodes, and they didn't. And this was like someone's brilliant idea to just play old clips of the show with a loose narrative tying them all together.
Are we keeping that in?
What?
Sorry.
Well, we have to.
All right.
And then, it's in there. But you know, as people started using this as a cost saving strategy, this is actually why people hate clip shows, because it's kind of a cop out. And it allows a show to just not make a new episode and package it like a new episode. And then it's also kind of something that gets used as like a milestone for a lot of shows.
Definitely.
You know, once you hit 100 episodes or if there's a character who's going to leave a soap opera, you play a bunch of clips. But I couldn't find a reason for why they did this clip episode. This is the 114th episode, so it's...
Felt early. Early in the run.
Yeah, season 6, midway through.
Yeah, it definitely, when you do get a clip show in a show, it does feel like a milestone because you've got to have X number of episodes to take clips from, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of some of the other, you know, they often do it in flashbacks or as recaps or something like that. And I remember it's the kind of thing that when you're watching a new TV show as it's premiering or as it's airing, that like watching a clip show is a little bit like, well, you already know what happens.
Right.
But it is also like a, I think this episode, the banker does a pretty good job of being an effective summary of The Office and showing a lot of the good moments and stuff. I was surprised looking at it now how much I enjoyed it or how much I've come to appreciate it. I'm curious to know what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to remember I don't remember watching this live on air. And I imagine that I would have been disappointed when it started. And it was like, oh, this is a clip show.
I do remember watching it live, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe this would have been senior year of college coming back from Christmas break. Like I remember this, we got together and watched this with all my friends, and it was like, we were back after the break.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's
Office
January
Nights
21st.
Back again. And then it was just like, oh, well, cause first of all, you see a Gail Bedecker cause Breaking Bad was just hitting its stride and you're like, oh wow.
Yes.
Like,
and another Wire, another actor from The Wire.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, this is sweet. And then it quickly, that first time, Toby is trying to think of infractions and you're just like, okay, this is going to be a clip show. Also, the thing about this clip show is like, this is a trip through Toby's memory.
It's all framed through Toby's
memory. Technically Toby's episode. Yeah.
I never thought about it that way. But I mean,
like they were just one shot away of the little wavy effect when someone's thinking about the past.
That would have been so.
Yeah, it turns out at the end, the entire documentary was just Toby's dream. Yeah.
He wakes up. he's still a priest.
Yeah.
I do love, you know, I got to say though, yes, like going back and rewatching it, it's like sometimes I forget that parts of this are a clip episode. Like I forget that Computron is from this episode.
It's unfair to Computron. It's such a good bit.
It is.
And it kind of gets buried and it gets forgotten because people skip over this episode.
Most or all of the new elements that are, or I guess the elements that aren't clips, I really actually enjoyed in this episode. And I feel like it's easy to it's easy to forget about them because they're kind of, you know, associated with the clip show. But speaking of Computron, the fact that Michael devises this plan to have this hyper-intelligent, all-knowing computer system. And can you imagine? Dwight is the voice of all knowledge. That is the voice the role that he's been given.
Yeah, and his way to showcase his AI system's intelligence is to ask what the biggest ocean in the world is.
Yeah. Computing.
The easiest question ever.
This hyper-intelligent computer has to think for a while before coming up what the biggest ocean is.
Computing.
Alexa, what's the biggest ocean? Give me a minute.
Yeah, give me a minute. The slow rotation by Michael when he's on the Segway, it's just from a physical comedy standpoint, is so funny.
I do love how he zips out of his office like that. I wonder how many times they had to do that. It's kind of a perfect maneuver.
Well, he's got the Segway to navigate such small distances in terms of office space, and he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
I know. For a guy who forgets his safety mittens, you'd think he wouldn't wear a helmet on his Segway. But
oh, yeah, that's another thing about this episode. Michael in the helmet and then later having helmet hair was a
deleted scene?
No, they did that on purpose because he cut his hair short for something.
Dinner for Schmucks, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
This is, he still has the Dinner for Schmucks
haircut. You can see it a little bit when he goes and sits next to Toby.
Mm-hmm.
But HR Puffin stuff.
It's a very creative way to be like, oh, he's wearing the helmet, and then maybe he's got matted pressed down hair from the helmet. Yeah.
Did you guys know what HR Puffin stuff was?
Yeah, it was a TV show, right?
Yeah, it's a like an old TV show. It's like a puppet TV show. I didn't know that, but
I mean, it's no Fundle Bundle, but you know.
Yeah, talk about office weed strains.
Yes. but anyways, yeah, and I really enjoy the parts of this episode that are not the clips. Not that I don't enjoy the clips, but I kind of forget sometimes that this is, I actually really like this episode, what little of it is actually new. I love Toby when he, I think it's the first time that he asked Toby, or no, it must be the second time, I think about sexual harassment, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, you don't know? I don't know. You're the head of HR. I don't know. I love the third. I don't know.
Toby plays it where he says, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't want to lie, and I don't want to tell the truth. I wish that Toby had taking off that, you know, Michael tries to distract him by putting America's Favorite Mystery Stories in the bathroom. I wish that Toby had kind of taken it as a chance to try to, you know, be on the stand or be a character in a mystery novel or a detective or something, trying to get, you know, instead of just the kind of glassy-eyed normal Toby that we get.
I know. And he'd just obviously been reading that A Great American Mystery short stories right before he comes in and meets. So yeah, he's in the mood. And by the way, these two characters, Gale, I keep Eric. Calling him Gale because of Breaking Bad. Eric Ward, I know it's my last name. Mm-hmm. Eric meeting Toby is like a slice of like Wonder Bread meeting a glass of milk. It's just the two most like, hello, hi. Both of us hate our jobs. Let's sit in the annex and talk about it.
I like that they give Eric one funny bit where he's just like, I'm like a glorified fact checker. Actually, I'm just a fact checker.
I'm a fact checker.
This version
of
Dwight,
he's not even glorified.
That is sitting in the chair and spins around. Oh, we will. Pretending to be Toby. That version of Dwight is dressed like he is wearing a Dwight costume. For whatever reason, like the shade of yellow is really turned up. The brown is very brown in the suit. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right.
Into role of that of gracious host. great way to get out
you
of
it. I was thinking about how Dwight attacks. We've talked about how Dwight is quick to believe everything that Jim puts in front of him, that Jim is a vampire, that the werewolf he shot was his neighbor's dog, etc. But he also attacks things like this with extreme confidence, where he's going to pretend to be Toby. He's 100% going to commit. And then he pivots out of it really beautifully.
Yeah, beautifully.
It's a pirouette, really. I wish we could have seen more fake Stanley.
Yeah,
I wish we could have seen everyone in the office interacting with fake Stanley. It's very easy to think of Meredith taking a run at fake Stanley.
Doing something real weird, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it actually is a clever, like, situation this episode that could have been fun to watch the whole thing play out and watch everyone, you know, do what Michael told them to do to try and convince the banker. I would have liked to see more of fake Stanley. I would have liked to see, you know, Aaron crack under the pressure.
So, I'd like to see Creed treat new Stanley as old Stanley, not even realize.
Hey, Sammy.
Sammy. Yeah.
Looking good.
Yeah. Looking good, Sammy.
And the central conceit is kind of that they need to impress this guy in this company to make sure that they can stay afloat. That's the central premise, correct?
Yes, so, and Michael is the highest ranking employee.
It would have been fun for him to go down and check the warehouse and talk to Daryl or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
Right. And we get him walking around checking a piece of paper down there.
Well, he should have. They just box themselves in a bit, like him sitting with Toby. Like when you look at the reviews for this episode at the time, they're like, it's a clip show, but it's like, it's not even an original. It's not even like a well done clip show.
No.
It's just kind of like, and I agree, he could have gone down to Daryl, talked with Daryl, and then we get warehouse scenes. And then he goes and talks to, you know, Aaron, and you get reception. And then, like, they could have moved around the office more.
That would have been a great way to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Bullpen,
right.
The kitchen, the annex.
Yeah.
Yep. Parking lot.
Yep. And he talks to every character or something.
I mean, it's what leads you to think that this is just a cost-saving strategy to have this clip show, because if you just go back in the annex, you don't need all the actors. You don't need the whole ensemble there.
They needed to buy a week or two to get Steve Carell's hair to grow back to what it needed to be.
Guess so.
Yes.
I will say that this episode has a real, especially looking back at it now, you know, after the show has been off the air for so many years, it's actually a really good, I think it's a really good summary of a lot of the stuff that happens in the office. It does a real, I think it's actually very effective in the way that it builds up to the Jim and Pam stuff at the end.
Yes.
This is a building really where friends become lovers and lovers become sexually interactive.
And, and well, and then Toby says, Michael, you know how inappropriate that is. Michael says, I know.
Well, it's also like this is for the era of like live Thursday night TV. Like it does, this doesn't age well on Netflix, because you could watch a clip or you could just go watch that episode right then, or you could watch, go on YouTube or something. So this is kind of a dinosaur, this kind of episode, it feels like, for, you know, this sort of network TV model. But at the time, it was sentimental. It was nice to watch, because I wasn't like you, Edwin. I didn't have all the DVDs. I wasn't rewatching episodes all the time as the show was airing. So to see all the clips live was great. But now it's just like, skip. I don't need this.
And I think like it is kind of like the first one where he asks, are there any outstanding liability issues, safety issues, injuries that could leave the company open to potential lawsuits? That's like all these like kind of violent clips, like back to back to back of people hitting each other and crazy stuff happening. That's
throwing melons off of rooftops.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's kind of a nice little playlist of clips. That really has a rhythm to it and is nicely done. But yeah, I mean, it's like even the Jim and Pam one, like, is a little like,
well, obviously you hate that.
I don't like the mushy stuff.
I know. And you have to watch it all together in one go. You must have not even, there's even a soundtrack. They're playing that banjo-y song.
It was honestly
the song is it's Sing by the band Travis, and like listening to it, it's just like, man, that's a very 2000s song. I think it came out in 01. I was looking into
that. That is the most Travis band. Everyone is named Travis in that band, I assume.
I did think that it was effective the way they built up to it. Like the right before the Jim and Pam stuff is Kevin talking to Creed about Jim having it bad for Pam, and Creed saying, oh, which one's Pam? And then it kind of builds into that stuff. I did also think it was really effective the way that they put in a couple clips from deleted scenes.
I was going to say, that is brilliant, and I could have done with more of that. That would have been really fun to see more deleted scenes.
Dwight shooting the potato gun through the window in the warehouse.
Yeah, what does he say?
Bon appetit!
the pneumatic potato gun.
Yeah, can you imagine if I were deranged? That's a deleted scene from Boys and Girls in season 2. And then when he says, just eat it, Phyllis, dip it in your water so it goes down your gullet faster. That's what she said, where everyone says it back to him.
Yeah.
That's a deleted scene from Beach Games.
Yeah.
Slide it down your gullet.
Yeah, I could have. I think that's a fun thing that they could have done a little more of. And wouldn't have cost them any more money. So
there's better ways to do that. I mean, you know, clip shows are clip shows. Most shows do them, like shows that go on for this long, do them at some point. But like a lot of them are like, Edwin, you'll know, isn't the Simpsons one called like, well, it's come
I
to
love
this?
The Simpsons one. Yeah, it's impossible for me not to think of it. And in the closing credits, they have a song. You'll never stop the Simpsons. Have no fear. Yeah. We've got stories for years. Sorry for the clip show.
Yeah. They lean like they all the way into it.
How about That's March awesome. Becomes a Robot? Yeah, they just go off the walls with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think like Rick and Morty did one where all the clips were brand new, never before
seen. Yes, they did.
Things.
They did.
It's Always Sunny comes to mind is one that they, One thing that really does stand out from this episode as being really effective to me is Michael's voiceover at the end, where he says, I feel very sorry for that banker because he has to evaluate what we are worth. He has to decide what we are capable of, and how do you do that? What is Jim capable of or Pam or Kevin. I don't care if he goes and files a report that says we're nothing special, because I think our future is very bright. We only just begun, which I think is really nice.
Computron experiencing emotion.
Okay, buddy. Yeah, I want to live. But it's really nice to see that voiceover and all that stuff going together, because at this point in the show, like, the idea is, you know, we talk about the beauty of ordinary things, and it's Michael standing up and saying, like, I don't care if he doesn't think we're anything special. I know we are, which is really nice. It's an endearing, I think, enduring kind of moment.
After he's tried so hard to make them look special.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that could be a reason for the clip show being here. I mean, in the story of The Office, this is when the company has become insolvent. Is that the word? You know, redundant. This is right before Saber buys them. So perhaps this felt like a turning point in the show, which it really was. And maybe that's why they decided to do the clip show here.
That's a really interesting point, is that it does come in this real time of uncertainty, which is that after this episode, then we get Saber and David Wallace buying it back. It does change tonally, I guess, mm-hmm. in that regard. Mm-hmm. We have Joe Bennett and all that stuff come in. So, yeah, that is a good point, that it's right at this sort of inflection point for the show.
We're coming. Yeah, sure, it's like shareholder meeting, Scott's Tot, Secret Santa. Lot going on, yeah. Banker. And then, yeah, it is a total break before Saber, Manager, Salesman, Delivery, and the rest of Season 6, which ends with a lot of momentum.
And I would say, like, it would make sense for them to do a clip show near Michael Scott leaving the show, but I'm glad that they don't do that, because
it would have wasted.
Yeah, it would have felt like a waste. Yeah.
I mean, the goodbye Michael is a really effective way to go back to all those old jokes and moments,
right,
where he revisits shooting the basketball and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's way more effective than a clip show would have been in that moment.
Right.
And if they'd done the clip show in season 8 or 9, it just would have reminded everyone that Michael Scott isn't there anymore, yeah, and it wouldn't have worked. So maybe I take back what I said. Maybe this actually does come at the only time mm-hmm. you could really have a clip show.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't too early after all.
One thing that I, maybe I'm into after all. one thing that I wish that they had played with a little more is Michael being the highest ranking employee in Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pam just kind of says it as an aside, as that's where we're at. But I really would like to see Michael do more with that sort of power.
I wish he'd worn, like, the Wall Street pinstripe with the Gordon cuffs. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, he was like, I'm the CEO, you know?
He went back to that season one haircut.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, straight slick back.
Yeah, that'd be but I actually really, like, in watching this episode a few times to prepare, I actually came to really enjoy it. I really like it now. It's one that I would kind of skip over or not think to pick out as a rewatch episode. I actually really like it. If you're only going to watch a handful of episodes for the rest of your life, like, this isn't a terrible one, you know, because you just get the volume of the clips. And it is funny to see them edited together in such a way where you get a lot of that stuff back to back to back to back.
Most definitely.
I wonder if, because basically it's not, the clips don't start until, like, over a third of the way through this mm-hmm. episode, probably. You wonder what could they have done with the episode if there didn't have to be a clip show? Something with, I don't know how they would have done that, mm-hmm. but it's like I kind of like that storyline of someone like that coming in and auditing the whole place really closely.
Yeah, I think that they could have. I think that the episode could have been all about them trying to convince this guy. But yeah, I guess there's no side plots, there's no side stories in this episode at all. So it's like could have done with a couple more of those.
And interestingly enough, right after this episode is Saber, where Gabe shows up for the first time, and they're all trying to impress him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a tiny subplot, Sean, which is Computron wanting to exist.
Yeah.
Wanted to live.
After competing with the computer in season 4, Dwight becomes the computer. It would be funny to watch Computron play a prank on Jim, or try to, like, disparage Jim in front of Eric or something like that.
Yep. Or have Jim somehow prank You hear a prank happening on the other side of the phone with Computron. Something Jim's doing.
Or like as Computron is touting Dwight's accomplishments as a salesman. Another side plot is that Ryan needs a space heater for his closet.
Oh yeah, that's right. Ryan's still in the closet.
That was one of the only moments where it's like fresh eyes on this place, and he looks over and sees Ryan in the closet as my
person. Yeah,
Jim actually doesn't have a line in this episode. In the new parts. I feel like there's still a lot they could have done and avoided the clips altogether. But
I'm curious why it's funny that Dwight names a place in Israel that has the best lobster in the world.
Best like, Maine lobster.
Maine lobster.
Best Maine lobster. Do you think he like actually looks that up? Or I was like, it was such an odd poll for Dwight. Especially because he wants to travel there, but it was... Was it like turned down by the Shoah Foundation, or what's the clip he has about? Like he wanted to travel there, but his visa was denied by the Shoah Foundation. Oh, he went to go visit his uncle Manfred in Argentina.
Yes,
very
right.
Okay. Good.
Which is that a nod to Dwight having a Nazi family?
Manager, something like that.
Okay. I assume that. Fled to Argentina.
Nazis
I don't know.
Hit out in Argentina after World War II. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He spent the rest of the war in an Allied prison camp.
There's your newsreel about Dwight's family.
Yeah right. Comes full circle. Well, I do want to move on to our draft.
Give me one more news clip.
An exodus to Argentina. Following the war. I don't even remember what the origin of that is. It's just
Who knows?
Everything about old-timey newsreels really makes me laugh, and I love doing the voice.
Actually, I know exactly what it was. It was our trip at Soda Lake, and Sean had popcorn caught in his beard, and we were like, what if Sean could just eat popcorn out of his beard? And then you were like, oh yeah, I'm picturing him like an old-timey huge beard sitting at an old
watching
theater.
Newsreels? Yeah. By this man, Wilt Chamberlain. He's a crack quartermiler. That's a really great one. You can look that one up about Wilt Chamberlain.
Roger Bannister breaks the 4-minute mile.
What were we talking about?
Should we do this clip draft?
Let's do the draft.
I think, let's move on to conference room. 5 minutes.
Conference room, 5 minutes.
Before we jump into the draft, a quick thing that we wanted to mention. This was sent to us by Teddy on Instagram. Melora Hardin has released The Serenity by Jan Candle. And you might know this if you follow her on Instagram, as you may if you're an Office fan and listening to this show. But she released A Serenity by Jan Candle, as well as a t-shirt that says That's What He Said. They're available for sale, and the proceeds benefit some organizations close to Melora Hardin's heart, the Rape Crisis Center and the Joyful Heart Foundation and Unique Foundation. So you can get them online.
Nice.
You can finally have that. It's not Bonfire. The scent says Calm, but
yeah. What's the price on a Serenity by Jan candle?
I gotta look it up. I think it was $40.
That's like fancy candle prices.
To a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's for a good cause. That's awesome. That's great. Glad to hear Melora Hardin's doing some stuff. Okay, cool. Well, let's get into the draft. We are going to be drafting clips that we would have put in the clip episode. We are allowing ourselves to pick clips that aired after this, after season 6, episode 14.
That's true. I only pick one that was after.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fun things about one of the reasons that we chose this episode is that it gives us an opportunity to brainstorm, like, yeah, if you were going to make a clip show for The Office, what would you choose and why? Would you choose stuff from later seasons? Like, that was kind of a fun thought experiment. So, and the draft format will kind of prevent us from bringing, if each of us brought the same 5 clips, you know, that wouldn't be that much fun. So the drafts are always fun. So let's do that.
Serpentine drafts.
Sure.
And
if you go first in the first round, you go last in the second round.
Yep.
Kind of thing. As always, shout out to All Fantasy Everything, one of our favorite shows.
Huge shout.
Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors.
Let's do it.
Rock.
We're going to go rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
And then it's odd man out or whoever wins.
Let's just see what happens and we'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Ready? Rock.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
Well, you both cut me.
Okay.
All right.
So now we play again.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Well, we went rock for rock. Wow. Okay. Yeah, okay. Why don't you pick? Let's move on.
Okay.
You determine the order.
Okay. We'll just go in a circle and we'll go me, Sean, Alex.
Great.
Cool.
Okay.
Take it away there, Eddie.
So my first pick in the clip show draft is a Jim and Pam moment that was not included in the show, which is at the end of the Dundies when it starts with them sitting on the bench and Pam saying, I feel bad for what I wrote on the bathroom wall. Jim says, no, you don't. Mm. And then Pam is about to ask Jim a question. She sees the camera and says, never mind. Or she just says, I just wanted to say thanks. And then she gets in Angela's car because Angela's giving a ride home. Tiny Dancer plays. I love that moment. There's like a lot of hope in that moment for the show. And it's just really, it's really nice. And a lot of it is probably reinforced by Tiny Dancer. But
yeah, true.
But I really, really love that moment. And I wanted to make sure I got at least one good heartfelt moment in the clip show. So that's the number one pick. Sean, take it away.
All right. Like,
are you writing? Who's writing? Is anyone writing?
I wrote Edwin's down. I'll write him down. I like thinking about it. I wanted like high energy.
Now we're cooking.
I wanted like high energy clips, stuff that was really fun to play back to back. So
this is a Toby, definitely.
Yeah. So my first pick is going to be from The List. Everyone attacking each other in the bullpen.
Wow.
Which ends with Kevin saying, warning.
That is a frantic. It is frantic.
Yeah. All right.
That's great.
I like that one a lot.
Yep. Alex?
All right. My first and second picks.
Yes.
Right? I'm also going with sort of a Jim and Pam / Michael moment from Dunder Mifflin Infinity, which is the whole scene leading to the My Heart Soars with the Eagle's Nest quote.
Yes.
I love the timing of that scene. It's so funny to me. It's Michael discovering Jim and Pam are dating. It has Michael being very emotional and caught up in it. It's also very funny. Everything about it. Taking that one. My second scene, going pure comedy, I'm taking the William M. Butlicker scene from Customer Survey.
Fantastic.
Yes, of course.
I don't think I need to say much about that. But
I mean, the prices have never been lower.
It's just perfect. It's a perfect scene. Mm-hmm.
So good.
I think one thing to mention, too, and we can talk about this more in detail, is like I think Alex as well, as we were getting ready, we're like trying to find picks that weren't in the clip show.
Oh, yes. Draft. Yes, sorry.
So yeah, if we miss some of the obvious ones that are included in the clip show, that might be a reason why. Although, it's all on the table, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so Sean, number two pick.
Okay. I'm going to go with Scott's Tots, Michael telling the Scott's Tots he can't pay for college.
Oh,
wait. They're lithium.
You are a glutton for punishment, my friend. You are a sick man.
I mean, I mean certainly that's something that the banker might want to know about.
Yeah, that's true.
Outstanding liabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to think about what's the prompt that you see this scene.
Yeah, right. I do. I was kind of trying to, like, imagine how, like, the public's perception of the company or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
All right, fantastic. Scott's Tots. Okay, so I've got number two and number three here. Number two, I am taking the Dwight and Andy duet.
Dang it. That was on my list.
I love that one.
Dang. That was my only music scene.
Yeah,
so.
I wanted you had to have a Dwight moment, and that one stood out to me.
Yep. Yep.
And then my number three pick is... from the injury, it is Dwight going to the hospital with Michael and Jim. So Dwight, Jim trying to, and it's a clip show, so you can kind of edit around it a little bit. But, you know, Dwight having laying on the couch and then Pam trying to help him out. Oh, huggy hugs.
Jim sprays him with the...
Yes. You can't fire me. I don't work in this van. So that's my number two pick, that whole series. Until they get to the hospital, maybe. Although, really obviously, good. There's great stuff at the hospital, too. But
nice. Yep. Very nice. Okay.
All right.
All right. For my third pick, I will also go with a musical clip. Kevin singing Alanis Morissette.
Good one.
You I don't know. Yeah.
Kevin Karaoke could have been a web series. Like a web episode thing. Yeah.
I would have really liked to have seen that.
I could either as it's doing it, I could also see Kevin hosting karaoke at Poor Richard's once a week.
Yes.
Like in the nighttime, and that's sort of one of his side gigs.
With like sunglasses on.
Yeah,
with sitting at the fedora.
He's got
table.
The hat. He's singing police songs. Yeah.
Only, he's just singing that. That's good. Is it to me?
It's to you.
Yes, sir.
Picks three and four.
All right. I did have another music scene, technically, and I'm very glad I got this. I'm taking Andy's Take a Chance on Me scene.
Nice.
When he coordinates with his boys, and it's so well executed. It's so well done. Musically, it's funny. It's also good. Like the harmonies are great, and just Andy trying his absolute hardest, and then barely being rewarded, but he is. I figured I needed an Andy scene, so I'm taking
that's
that
true.
One.
That's good. Yeah,
love it.
I need a Michael and Holly scene. I'm obviously not taking. I'm not taking the proposal. Get it out of here. Don't want it. There's a lot to choose from, but I am going with the Huggy Monster scene when she comes back for Classy Christmas. Well. Yeah, that whole scene just...
You old bastard.
You old bastard.
I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
I don't want to die. And the whole office is just looking at them like they're crazy. It's just... It's in a show where Michael is constantly worried about what people think about him. It's a moment where all that disappears and it's just him and Holly in the main office. They don't care that everyone's watching and they're being weird. It's a heartwarming moment and it's very funny.
Michael and Holly. Wait, what do you call that clip?
The Huggy Monster scene.
Huggy Monster.
Yeah.
I think that's the best.
Okay, Holly's back. Jim tried to...
All right. So time for my fourth pick. I am going to take a Dwight teaching karate. You let go. You let go.
Oh, the martial arts demonstration.
Yes, martial arts demonstration. Thank you, yeah. Because as we all know...
How do I make this relatable? you are in the Yakuza.
Yeah.
And you're at the Lackawanna Trolley Museum.
But I think that clip also ends very nicely with the element of surprise. Yeah. Punches himself in the groin. Okay, Edwin, time for your fourth and fifth picks.
All right, so number four, I'm going to piggyback off the Dwight karate train, and I'm going to pick Dwight doing his final kata forms in season 9.
Nice.
When he gets the sensei there to cut off the belt, and he keeps thrusting towards the sensei, and then he does all the karate moves around everyone at the office. The looks on their faces, on Clark and Nellie and Jim and Pam's faces when he does that. It just kills me every time I see it. And then if you go back to the season 9 bloopers, there's a lot of really funny stuff where they can't get through it just because Rainn Wilson is doing the most ridiculous stuff. He headbutts a plant. He like throws his arms up before he runs to the side. It's worth going back to watch. So that's one of mine. And then the last one, again, try to take some edits to like edit a couple of these moments together or stitch them together, is Secret Santa in season 6. Michael as Santa, Kevin sitting on his lap. Jim telling Michael, you can't try to get an employee to sit on your lap while saying, I need this.
Yeah,
then the last moment is Michael putting his hat in the punch bowl. For whatever reason, that always kills me.
It's so petty. Yeah.
Okay, that's my awesome. Last one.
Okay, for my last one, I'm going to pick a moment from my favorite episode, Murder, the Mexican Standoff, which I believe is the episode right before The Banker. I think
it's like two
It's no, right. In
yeah,
the
you're
it's
right.
Like
no, yeah,
before.
It is. It's a couple episodes before that. But yeah. So, just one of my favorite moments. Edwin. Sorry, Alex.
I mean, I would gladly go again, but Alex.
I know.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, for my fifth, for my last one, the banker ends on the Lazy Scranton video.
Nice.
And I kind of like ending the clip show with just something to take you home.
Something juicy.
And so I'm taking Michael's dance on the Booze Cruise.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic.
To finish off my clips. Just get Michael Scott in open space. Let him go. High energy. It's a good way to end it.
Sometimes you got to be the boss of dancing.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Alex, you picked Dunder Mifflin Infinity, My Heart Soars with the Eagle's Nest, William F. Butlicker, William F. Butlicker, Andy's Take a Chance on...
it was M.
M, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Andy's... We can all be... Yeah, yeah.
Andy's Take a Chance on Me, Michael and Holly, Huggy Monster, and... finally, Michael's dance on the Booze Cruise. Edwin, you took End of the Dundies, Tiny Dancer, Dwight and Andy's duet, Dwight going to the hospital, Dwight's final kata forms, Michael as and finally
Dwight.
Yeah. Michael as Santa trying to get Ryan to sit on his lap and sticking his hat in the punch bowl. I went with everyone attacking each other in the list. Michael telling the Scots Tots he can't pay for college, Kevin singing Alanis Morissette, Dwight teaching martial arts, and finally the Mexican standoff in Murder. That is great. If you at home listening would like to share with us the clips that you think would have been great in a clip episode, please hit us up. Send them to us. Yeah, we'd love to know what you think.
Just send us a tight five, just the list.
Yes.
Don't need anything else.
Yeah, don't sit.
So I think our 15 there, our pooled 15 to make an episode, I'd watch it.
Pretty good.
It's going to be good.
Pretty good.
Did you guys have any honorable mentions you wanted to throw out there?
Two that were in the show that I would have taken, which is Dwight showing that he's not wearing a wire to Michael. And then when Michael's flashing with Toby and he has his finger through his pants. That whole scene. I would have taken that whole scene too.
Sean, did you have any honorable mentions?
I mean, honestly, Alex saying Michael dancing on the Booze Cruise made me think of Michael dancing at Cafe Disco alone in the beginning of Cafe Disco is one of the funniest dancing.
He
throws his head back.
The videos that people set with that to other music, I absolutely love. Bad and Bougie, it's always great.
It's perfect.
I'll give you a couple of really quick honorable mentions.
I got a couple more.
As a backup heartwarming moment, I had 9,986,000 minutes.
Sure.
Or the Rent song. Basketball, where Michael is talking about being a basketball machine overlaid with him missing shots. What is wrong with me today? You know, Diwali with Michael trying to kiss Pam. And then,
I thought about that.
I'm rejecting your kiss.
Can I have a ride home if you sit in the back? Last one, Dwight getting the steam in season 9.
Oh, nice.
Break protocol. Break protocol.
That's good. My other two cuts here, I was the meatball prank from Pool Party. just good turn on its head. For heartwarming, I would have definitely taken Michael saying goodbye to Jim. They plan lunch for the next day. That one just makes me cry. And last cut for me was the bed bug scene in Florida. I needed something from Florida, and that to me is the most classic scene from that whole arc. Or Jim giving the pyramid presentation's pretty darn good.
Nice.
I wish either of those.
Saber, it's time to come home. when he pulls out that tiny shoe for Ryan.
The moments where he like reads the bit that Ryan wrote and people really connect with
clap,
it. And it's good. It's so
without
funny.
Even knowing
it's
just it, like love when, caused the pain.
It's just like when Jim and Pam read his poetry and it's really good.
I'd love to include like one like funny Pam moment too. So I'd also include when we've got Creed as manager and she's playing the multiple characters on the
phone.
Oh
yeah, that's good.
And then you get and then that clip ends very nicely with it's Kismet.
It's Kismet. I know that's the other way to do this is by character. It's like there's so many. Mm-hmm. Like if I was gonna pick like one Creed scene,
two eyes,
one.
Two ears, a chin.
That whole scene.
Do you like how the clip show the banker actually carved out an entire section for Creed? We didn't talk about that.
That's true.
Yeah, they really did.
It's true. They need it, but see, like that's where they could have. He could have moved around to more people, and we get.
Yeah.
Give me some Meredith scenes. Give me.
Yeah, that's where it's like not very well balanced. You know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I know.
Well, you guys.
I don't know why I'm not in the finer arts club. Bull crap.
Oh, burning. Oh, burning.
I like me loud. Oh,
wow.
All right, what do you say? Let's move on to some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! Okie dokie, this week's trivia comes from Peyton and Melody. Good afternoon, MSPC. My fiance and I are getting married in October and love your show. We love listening together on long car rides and especially love the trivia aspect. We figured since we are getting married soon and consistently planning various portions of the wedding, we would submit a quiz on all the various weddings that took place on The Office.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
Here we go. Question one. What did Angela find wrong with each of the four non-refundable wedding venues Andy secured? We give you the venue, and you tell us what Angela found wrong with the venue.
This is a great question.
Yeah, hot air balloons over Napa Valley.
Too far?
Afraid of heights?
Too expensive?
You're close with the heights thing. It's too
high.
Dangerous.
Okay.
Too dangerous. Yeah.
Okay. Disney's Epcot Center.
Tacky?
Mm-hmm. Scuba diving wedding in the Bahamas.
She doesn't.
Afraid of sharks?
Getting wet?
Sharks, correct.
Sharks? Oh, okay.
And finally, Wilkes-Barre Marriott Ballroom C.
Too,
oh, man, it's
like
too I forgot. Close. I definitely
forgot.
I don't know what
haunted.
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 Okay.
I was ready for the tent one, but I guess that wasn't in the original four.
Yeah. During Phyllis's wedding, we are introduced to Phyllis's father. What is her father's name?
It starts with
Elbert.
E.
Elbert. Elbert. Yes. And
wait.
Her,
before we move on,
the Celtics were a great team.
Can we lament that we didn't get to see little clips of Andy doing all of his honeymoons? They use that to explain why he's gone for a little while.
Yes.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Andy scuba diving, Andy in a hot air balloon, Andy hanging out in that haunted ballroom. Yeah.
I think
like
we've...
Really quick.
We've talked before about, like,
Hey, Tuna, look at me. I'm the Tuna. Deep sea Tuna. Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked before about things that are unseen on the show. That is definitely one that would be great to see. Question number three. During Phyllis's wedding, Phyllis's dad stops the wheelchair Michael is pushing, stands, and triumphantly walks his daughter down the aisle. Annoyed, Michael says what expletive phrase?
This is bullshit.
This is bullshit.
That's correct.
That was the drop next to the Celtics.
That's great. Question four. During Jim and Pam's wedding, what is the flavor fruit snack that Helene offers Michael?
Apricot. Made
of real apes. Question five. What is the name of the hotel where the guests stay for Jim and Pam's wedding?
I feel like you can see the sign.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Right,
I don't know it. Mm. What is it?
It starts with a W.
Close. No, I'm just kidding. Not close. Statler Falls Hotel.
Statler Falls. That's so good.
During Roy's wedding... What does Roy say he was doing when he was actually taking piano lessons?
Ooh, boxing.
Yeah. Boxing lessons, correct. Question seven.
Terrible cover. Terrible cover, man. You're not coming home sweaty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Who does the Bible reading at Angela? Who does the Bible reading at Angela and Dwight's wedding? And bonus, what was the reading?
Kevin.
Kevin does it. Yeah. Do you think that you could get the? I would never, ever get this.
Well, I mean, technically, they already their wedding was with the German Mennonite minister. Yeah. So.
Do you mean the Bible verse or the stuff that Kevin says?
The verse.
Oh, I can't get. Oh,
song,
yeah.
Song on Solomon 2:10. All right, guys, final question. What is Michael's wedding gift to Jim and Pam?
Oh, a painting of the two of them. He also has one in the nude, but that of them in the nude, but that's just
painted from memory.
Yeah.
Yes. awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Peyton and Melody. Congratulations.
Thank you
guys.
Great trivia. Good job.
Excellent trivia. If you have trivia that you'd like to share with us, email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a message, 503-694-9314. We love to play the voicemails on the show. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. For $5 a month, you can become a Scott's Tot. You get a bonus episode every single month. You help support the show. And together we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So join us on there, especially if you have listened to all of the episodes and you are looking for more content. It's out there. Go and get it. special thank you to all of our Patreon members. You guys rock. We love you so much. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all of our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon, over video chat.
Thank you for listening. We truly love interacting with everyone. Thank you for hanging out with us for a little bit. You know, we have a new Patreon episode coming up shortly. When this episode will be coming out, so stay tuned for that. But just
also
know that
in April
we'll
be putting out as well our unreleased overrated underrated episode Patreon from before
from like
we
3 years
the
ago.
Show. Yeah, so another something to pay attention.
Yeah, that's
to.
Right.
That'll probably be coming towards the end of April.
Yeah, but thank you, really and truly. We always really appreciate it. So. Take care, stay safe, we'll see you next week.
My Oops, horn shit. Can pierce the dark.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Michael and Sally, Jim Dwight Cree, call Emily and Kelly for your business paper needs. Dunder Mifflin, the people presses paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people presses paper people.
Time out. I thought I was under the impression that this was going to be a rap.
What's rap?
Okay, Daryl, wow. You need to learn a lot about your own culture. I'll make you a mix.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.